I want to thank you for allowing both Dr. John Scott and Dr. Richard Bues to visit Romania and to speak to our churches, and particularly to the church where I am one of the pastors. Now, you all know that having both John and Richard to preach in the same church, you have so many blessings and some problems. The blessings are always related to the power of the preaching of the gospel. When the church is encouraged, strengthened, many come to know Christ. And also after both of them, John and Richard, left Romania, they continue to help us in many ways. I will point to some of the practical helps that we receive from you through them. Following John's visit to Romania in 87, he helped us greatly with medical equipment in a country which badly needs medical supply. And also, John helped us politically. You may not have known, but he wrote a letter to the former dictator Ceausescu asking for the rights for the Christian in Romania. Following Richard's visit in Romania, we received a great help and support for the building of our church, new building, which will seat 3,000 people. And we do hope to have more than two services on Sunday, because there are so many others who are still needing to, are in need to hear the good news. And also, Richard helps us to provide two greenhouse tunnels for the orphanage of our church. Our church has an orphanage which presently has 81 orphans, and in addition to the care that we provide for them, we thought it is very helpful to have some workshops around the orphanage, such as the greenhouse, hairdressing, cosmetics, to teach them some skills. And when those orphans will leave that place, they will not end up on the streets of Romania, but they will have skills. They will be able to work. They will live with dignity. And they will live in proclaiming the good news in Christ, both in words and deeds. Now, those are just few of the blessings that we receive. Should I dare to mention some of the problems that we have? Well, I think that I should. One of the major problems that I had after both of them preached in my church is that both elders and deacons approached me and asked me to make some very, very close inquiries into the program of your church and see if you do not have a sort of internship program for young preachers from Eastern Europe. Because all the people in my church should believe that I should improve my preaching skills. And the best place where I should take some seminars would be All Souls Church, Langham Place. Alternatively, if you do not have that teaching program for young pastors from Eastern Europe, the church urged me to invite both John and Richard in Romania to start the seminar there. So thank you very much for all the blessings, and I would appreciate if you help me to sort out the problems. I want to express the thanks and bring you greetings from our church. And as we have a few moments tonight to concentrate on one of the greatest themes that has been decided by the leaders of your church, the truth is more powerful than thanks. Those words which have been spoken and written by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, this great Romanian philosopher and novelist who follows in the footsteps of other great Russian thinkers such as Gogol, Dostoevsky, Komiakov, Soloviev, and interesting enough, all of them have been inspired by the great Russian monastic movement started by Serafimov Sarov. It was a great monastic movement of some people who withdraw from society in order to understand much better where the society is moving, what is happening. And subsequently, all of them came back into society and they made differences into the Russian society and Russian history. And Solzhenitsyn follows those great thinkers, and he said, "One word of truth outweighs the whole world. The truth is more powerful than tanks." Now, this is a very interesting statement to be uttered in Russia or Romania. But what about Great Britain and particularly London? Well, I think that in London, this statement will be somewhat like this. Some people say that a word of truth outweighs the whole world. Others obviously have other views. So we have to make some research into the issues and see where the truth is, because obviously the truth has to be somewhere in between. Eastern Europe is coming out of communist regime, where things were black and white. You are coming from a pluralistic, modernistic society, moving toward a postmodernist society, where truth is not as much an issue of black and white, it's more a matter of private opinion. In a modern society, you cannot make exclusive statements. You cannot say here, "Christ is the only truth." Obviously, you'll be exclusivist, and you'll be a narrow-minded person, and you'll not be very much welcomed by your fellow citizens. In a pluralist society, there are other things which are being welcomed by society at large, and those are so-called the scientific views or the scientific facts. Things like religion, beliefs, those are more or less private issues, and they are tolerated by society if you hold them privately. You do have religious freedom, you have no problems with that, but you have to keep your faith for yourself. Because obviously in a pluralistic society, you have to make space for others, and each one has to keep his own truth at home. And when we come on the public square, we should all submit to what is being called the public truth, the scientific truth, those ideas which are being endorsed by the great scientists of our age. So in Eastern Europe, things are black and white. In Western Europe, things are gray. Therefore, I feel a little uncomfortable to speak about things which are black and white in a country which obviously endorses very much gray area. So, do you allow me to be an Eastern European tonight? Because I am an Eastern European and I cannot do otherwise but be an Eastern European. And when Solzhenitsyn wrote those words that truth is more powerful than tanks, obviously he was not in a gray area. Truth was in a sort of encounter with different forces. And tanks in Solzhenitsyn language stands for all the forces of evil. And this man knew what the forces of evil are looking like, because he spent many years in the Russian Gulag. This man was there in the valley of the shadow of death. He was in the Gulag when hundreds of thousands of people have been arrested, oppressed. They were in bondage and they were sentenced to death. And Solzhenitsyn was among them. And according to some records, he came in touch with the truth when he was on his deathbed. After he underwent a major surgery, he was lying there on his bed when the doctor who operated him approached him and whispered into Solzhenitsyn's ears few words about Jesus. And those words gave him hope, gave him courage, And later on, he said, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. Truth is more powerful than tanks. He was in a sort of encounter situation when truth has been confronted by what the institutionalized forces of evil can achieve at a highest and most frightening power and oppression. So how are we supposed to approach this topic tonight in London? Truth is more powerful than tanks. I want to be sure that we speak the same language, and not only words, but meanings as well. So to be sure that we speak the same language, let me tell you a short story from Romania, and then we will proceed with our meditation. One of my friends from Romania, who spent all his life in Romania under communist oppression, finally in 1990, after we received freedom, political freedom, he was invited to visit the United States of America. For the first time in his life, this man visited another country, and he began with America. Invited by Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. Very nice people. They looked after him so well. They took him all over America to see the beauties and the riches and all the fascinating things of America. And Mr. and Mrs. Johnson were determined to look after him every single day and never leave him alone so he will not feel alone or abandoned or not very well looked after. But unexpectedly one night, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson received a phone call from some friends of theirs, and they were invited to visit this family because they had some major conflict and they were ready to separate, husband and wife. So they thought that it's not very wise to take this Romanian visitor and see a conflict within one of the American families. And they asked him, do you mind to spend a few hours on your own here? You have the living room and the TV, and you can watch TV, you have the fridge, and you have everything you want here. And my friend was so happy. Finally to have a few hours on his own. And I said, it will be great, I will enjoy myself. So Mr. and Mrs. Johnson left. And a few minutes later, the telephone rang. And my friend didn't know how to cope with that. Should he take the phone, the call? Should he ignore it? And finally he picked up the phone, and with his best English, he said, hello. And the voice said, may I speak to Mr. Johnson, please? And my friend, with his best English, said, he passed away. Oh, my dear. Said the voice. May I speak to Mrs. Johnson then? And he said, she passed away as well. You can imagine that the other person was totally shocked and bewildered. And he said, very intrigued, and who are you then? And my Romanian friend, with his best English, said, I am his ghost. Well, you see, they were speaking the same language, more or less, but attaching different meanings and pronouncing in different ways certain words. And when we speak about truth, it's crucially important that we speak the same language. And it should be the language of truth himself. And I'm saying the truth himself and not the truth itself, because I read in my Bible that truth is a person. Truth is not an object or an idea. Is not a sentence. Is not an opinion to call it it. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody comes to God the Father except through me. I am the truth, the way, and the life. And the Bible identifies truth with Christ himself. Truth is identical with a person. Now, ontologically, that is crucially important because truth is not an opinion or some creating sort of being which appear at a certain time in the history of our universe. Truth is an eternal being. Truth is an eternal person. And actually, truth is the ground of everything else that exists. Because God created the whole world, and Christ is the agent of creation. And whatever exists, exists because God, through Christ and Holy Spirit, created it. Now you may say, well, this is your presupposition. How do you substantiate that? Because we live in a world where there are other opinions, and that's obvious. There are so many other opinions. From the skeptical ones who say there are no truth at all, everything is absurd, to the others who say, no, this is the truth. Now, this is our presupposition, what the Bible affirms, that Christ is the truth. Christ is a person. How do we understand that? Well, let me suggest you, first of all, that when Christ identifies himself with the truth, truth actually is being brought in the community. Truth is not something that belongs to an isolated celestial being. In the same very chapter, in John chapter 14, when Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Christ speaks about himself in the context of the Trinity. He speaks about the Father, and he speaks about the Spirit. And Christ is part of the Trinity. And truth is part of the life, or identical with the life of the Trinity. Truth is being identified with a community. Now, that will have extremely important implication for us. First of all, we should not understand Christ as a sort of isolated individual who had some great ideas and came to implement them on earth, but understand Christ in the context of the Trinity. From eternity, past to eternity future, Christ is part of the Trinity, unity in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living together from all eternity and for all eternity, being united and yet distinct person. And when Christ speaks about himself as the truth, there are other two persons of the Trinity who bear witness to that. Now you see, it would be very nice for me to say that I am a very nice husband, the best husband on earth, if my wife is not present. But what if my wife and my daughters are present and say, well, I am the best husband on earth? I think that I should bow my head and splash, because they will know that that's not so. You see how important it is to understand truth in the context of the community. And when Christ spoke about himself as being the truth, he spoke with the full endorsement of the Father and the Spirit. Well, we will move a step forward because obviously there is no time to stay with the doctrine of the Trinity, but I think that if the church looks at the doctrine of the Trinity and understand ourselves as a historical reflection of the Trinity, the church is a historical reflection, unity in community, then we will understand why the Bible identifies truth with the church. If you have your scriptures, please open at 1 Timothy chapter 3, because the Bible identifies truth with the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is being described by Paul as the pillar and foundation of the truth. Not only that truth is being identified with Christ, with the Trinity, but now truth is being identified with us, with the church. Now this is a big problem, because how are we to understand truth as related to the church? Well, before we understand that, let's look at John chapter 17, Gospel of John, chapter 17. When Christ prayed for his followers and for the church, and in verse 17 he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." Christ identified the truth with the word, with the scripture. And time and again we see that Christ and scripture are bearing witness to each other. The scripture tells us that Christ is the truth, and Christ tells us that the scriptures are the truth. Now, how are we to understand it? Well, in our modern society, words and beings are not logically and honestly linked together. We can say so many words which are not true. We are used, and we are living in such a time when people are using words to disguise their thoughts. And the further the gap between words and beings, the bigger the gap, the greater problems we have to accept that somebody else can be different. But you see, in Christ, words and his being are always in harmony. Christ never contradicts himself in words, or the words of Christ never contradicts his thought or his being. Words and Christ himself are always in harmony. Therefore, Christ said, "Search the scriptures, because they speak of me." He was so confident to point to our scriptures, and the scriptures will help us to understand who Christ is and what is the truth. So, Christ, as one part of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, the scripture as a historical record of the Word of God, who bear witness of Christ. And the Word of God is being entrusted to the church. Now the church receives the words, and the words change through the power of the Spirit, and now the church is being brought into this harmony of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the church. Do you see the circle? We are being supposed now to live a life which will be always in agreement with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the Scripture. Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and Scripture live in harmony. But if truth will remain, there will be always a transcendental truth. But God wanted to bring the truth in history. And he brought the truth in history through his revelation all throughout the Old Testament, in Christ, and now through and in the church. Well, here is a great, great task for the church: to receive the truth and live the truth and proclaim the truth. And that should be always in harmony. Now, coming from a communist society, I know what does it mean to live in harmony with your scripture and with your faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So many Romanians are here, and they know that we have been followed by secret police day and night. And one of the tasks of the secret police was to identify if there are inconsistencies in our life. So they will be after you day and night to see if you do something that will contradict your scripture. And then they will bring you to account and say, "Well, look here. Now, don't tell me that your faith and your Christ and your Bible is true, because you are a hypocrite. You say one thing on Sunday and you do quite the opposite on Monday." And the strength of the church is to stay in the truth and reflect the truth. Now, that was the encounter with the communist forces, who obviously tried not to accommodate Christianity as one opinion among others, but totally eradicate Christianity. And the life of Christian in Romania was not a matter of a public opinion, but was a matter of death. Are you ready to die for what you believe? I keep describing the difference between freedom and persecution in the following words. In the time of persecution, the greatest decision that one had to make was, am I ready to die for Christ? When you are under persecution, you have to come to those basic things for which you are ready to die. And those were, who is Christ? What is the scripture? What is salvation? What is the church? What is eternal life? And if you agree to bring all of them under the authority of Marx, Engels, Lenin, Ceausescu, then you would have been welcomed by the Communist Party, even promoted in the Communist Party structures. Because your Christ is not the truth. Your Christ has been brought under the truth of Marx, Engels, Lenin. The challenge for you here is, do you allow Christ, the truth, to be under the authority of Newton or Einstein or I don't know who else, from BBC or I don't know where? Do you allow the truth to be brought under someone's authority and sacrifice the truth or stand for what you believe to be true? Now, in communist regime, we have not been given space to compromise. You either deny, you either stand for. I would like to read for you something very interesting from one of the Christians in Russia. He was Metropolitan Philip of Moscow, who was executed in 1569 because he dared to confront the Russian Tsar, Ivan the Terrible. And before this Metropolitan was executed, his last words were, I am a stranger upon the earth, and I am ready to suffer for the truth. Where is my faith if I am silent? The question of this matter was not, what should I do to escape persecution and execution? His problem was, where is my faith if I am silent? Truth is more powerful than thanks. Ivan the Terrible executed Metropolitan Philip, but century later, Russia is looking back to Ivan the Terrible with shame, and Russia is looking back to Metropolitan Philip with proud. There was a man who stood for the truth. There was a man who tried to destroy the truth. And Russia is sorting out its own past. And Romania is sorting out its past. And Great Britain will be going to sort out its past. And one day, we will be stand at the bar of judgment of history if we leave the truth or we compromise the truth. Christ, the scripture, and the church. Well, one step further, because the hermeneutical circle still needs one other step. Well, you may say, well, but we do not live all the time here at All Souls, Langham Place. We come here Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we come here on Wednesday night or Thursday. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Friday, when we are at our jobs? What is there? Do we have any chance to live in the truth? Well, 1 John, the Gospel of 1 John, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Answer this question. And here John identified the truth with the life of each one of us on the daily basis. And verse 8 is particularly important. He said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, here the text is very interesting. If we claim if we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, then we live in truth. Now, how are we to understand that? Well, we have to understand that the truth is coming always before God and confessing that we fail to live according to His word, and we are willing to ask His forgiveness and to ask His strength to conform us to His will. Truth is to be conformed to God's will. And that can be done everywhere where we live. Let me bring my message to a close by telling you another story from Romania this time. Now in Romania, we never allow the biblical truth to be a sort of public, private issue. We always struggle to keep the biblical truth as a public issue. It's not private, it's for the whole world. And because we try to make it public, we have certain ways to do that. For example, at Easter, we greet each other in a very, very interesting way. The first one that you see on Easter morning, you say, Christ is risen. And the response is, He is risen indeed. And that was all throughout the communist era. We went to our job and we saw our bosses and we greeted them, Christ is risen. Some of them will say, I have been informed, comrade. But during the communist days, as they tried to eliminate biblical truth from society, they organized all sorts of atheistic rallies. There was one huge atheistic rally for people from a number of villages. They have been brought together, and the communists brought a lecturer from Bucharest to have a lecture, a speech on atheism. So he did his best to destroy any Christian claim and to enforce upon his listeners atheistic truth. And among others, he did his best to prove that Christ never existed, that Christ is not the truth, and whatever Christ said is not true. At the end of his speech, he asked if there are questions. And an old man from Romania raised his hand and said, I have a question. So therefore, he was given the microphone, invited up front, and the lecturer said, well, ask your question. And the Romanian old man looked to his fellow villagers and said, my dear friends, Christ is risen. And the whole crowd shouted, he is risen indeed. And the man looked to the lecturer and said, thank you, sir. And he left. You see, the proclamation of the truth came within that man, that community of faith, the Bible, Christ within the Trinity, and it forms a circle. And the Holy Spirit is always interested to bring you into the circle. So therefore, when somebody sees your life, my life, your church, my church, our scripture, our Lord, living in harmony, Jesus said, they all will know that you are my disciples. Knowledge comes after we give them the opportunity to see the harmony and the coherence between God the Trinity, Scripture, our churches, and our lives individually. Wherever the church fails, wherever individual Christian fails, people will doubt our belief. They will doubt our truth. And the Apostle Paul said something to the Jews, said, because of you, nations and people are blaspheming God. At one point, the Jews were living so far away from the revealed will of God that other nations began to blaspheme God because of their lifestyle. That brings the burden and responsibility on each one of us. But also the opportunity to know that our truth is not a private truth, it's a public truth, not only historically, but on the cosmic level. What we proclaim is the truth of history and eternity. Truth is more powerful than thanks. Thanks can destroy, but never can give life. In the encounter, never be afraid, because Christ overcome the world. Thank you very much.